Hallelujah. The Monday before Yom Kippur, I was communing with the Spirit. And we've been talking about, I've been talking to my elders about where we're going. Because, as most of you know, before Elul, we enter into a whole new realm of movement here. And we've been talking about the season that we're in, and the season that we're going into is actually what we've been talking about. And everything's been geared towards that season, and as we buckled in, we started with fundamentals like prayer. And I taught extensively, at least on how not to pray, that most of you are aware of. And I pretty much did to you what the Spirit did to me, unpacked all of your concepts of prayer that you had learned all your life. And I assumed, being logical, that we'd be eventually going into that, but instead we went off deeper and deeper into some other things. And the Monday before Yom Kippur, the Spirit said, when's the last time the congregation went through a 40-day fast? Well, it's been a couple of years. How'd they handle it? Well, most of them wish they would have been more serious when they're at the end of the fast, when they're at the beginning of the fast. He says, it's time for a 40-day fast. I thought, well, Yom Kippur is next Shabbat. I already put my message in saying good in the computer, though. He says, no. I didn't say what kind of fast. And I saw, I know, Yeshayahu, the Isaiah fast. And he says, yeah. He says, but you got to think about fasting the way you think about prayer. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. So here's an understanding for those of you that are part of this congregation. We always have visitors. Visitors are always honored to have visitors. Once you come in here, you come under the favor of God in this place. You're part of our family. And this, everything the Spirit has is for you. And although you don't understand what we've been going through, you can jump into this stuff immediately because it's the kingdom of God and it's the Spirit of God. And it's open to everybody that's here. Is that we have been in boot camp, we have been in training camp, and we've been dealing with fundamentals. The fundamentals being, certainly prayer, which was the first thing the first thing I threw at you that really stretched pretty good was prayer. Yeah, well, and we've moved through that with a couple things that you had to be focused on, which again were kind of fundamental in concept. But beginning right now, this Shabbat, we are going into a preseason movement. And depending on how seriously you take this 40-day fast that we enter into right now, 40 days from now, this congregation will be radically different, and you'll be radically different as a part of this. Okay? But for those of you who belong here, you have to think about fasting the way you think about prayer, which means, isn't it real? Isn't the reality you really didn't know much about prayer? Does that sound right to most of you? Right, you didn't know much about prayer. You know what everybody else knows about prayer, which is not much. Well, that's about what you know about fasting, too. We'll start in Yeshayahu in Isaiah 58, page 528 in the Stern Translation. And ask a question. It is historical in nature, but it is apropos for where we are right now as a congregation. Chapter 58, verse 5. Is this the sort of fast I want, a day when a person mortifies himself? Is the object to hang your head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under yourself? Is that what you call call fast, a day that pleases Adonai? So you start with that premise. When God calls you to a fast, what kind of fast is God calling you to? Because we all know what everybody else does. But that's just like we all used to pray like everybody else prayed, too. We don't do that anymore, do we? And we're not going to fast the way everybody else fasts, either. All right? Verse 6. Here's the sort of fast that I want. Now, these are promises associated with a fast. These are promises associated with a fast. Releasing those unjustly bound, untying the thongs of the yoke, letting the oppressed go free, breaking every yoke, verse 7, sharing your food with the hungry, taking the homeless poor into your house, clothing the naked when you see them, fulfilling your duty to your kinsmen. That's actually the ramifications of a fast. That's not what you do to fast. That is part of the ramifications of the fast, although this is not an exhaustive list by any means. But a 40-day fast, I guarantee you, if you're a part of the covenant group of this congregation, that 40 days from now, we will break through and be at such a high level that where we are today, it's amazing how quickly you can move. And you all understand that if you've been carrying through with us since before Elul, which, if you're visiting on the lunar calendar, was last month, the sixth month of the year, which is a month of preparation for the seventh month, which we are in right now in the midst of the High Holy Day season. And so you move into the ramifications of God's promises to us and what he wants to give to us. Yeshua 61, page 533, still in Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of Adonai Elohim is upon me. Yeshua himself read this up in the... Wow. That was an interesting sound. Read this in the synagogue up in the Galilee and is an introduction to his ministry. His ministry continues to this day and is a part of the promises he's making to us. Spirit of Adonai Elohim is upon me because Adonai has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to let into light those bound in darkness. Again, look at these promises associated with what's going on. Okay? Good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, freedom to the captive, light to those bound in darkness. Verse 2. And proclaim the year of favor of Adonai, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. And what we are looking for is always what we are seeking after in this congregation, the kingdom reality, right? So you're all, if you've been here any time, again, understand the difference between a visitation culture and a habitation culture, right? Just for those of you who are visiting, a visitation culture is what we had before the sacrificial death and the burial and the resurrection, the ascension of the Messiah. In the outpouring of the Spirit, we had a visitation culture where the Spirit of God would come upon people for specific reasons. And that was a visitation culture which no longer exists, because from that point in the second chapter of Acts on, we have a habitation culture. Habitation culture means we're no longer waiting for a visitation of God. We are the habitation of God. Don't you know that you are the temple, God's temple, and the Spirit of God lives in you? And so we are a habitation culture. However, the kingdom reality brings you into the heavenly culture. The heavenly culture is a celebration culture. It's a celebration culture. We serve a happy God. God is happy. God is happy. Most people don't see God as happy. You have got to see God as happy. Because if you don't see God as happy, you're going to start missing what God is going to do in the season that we have been building up to for a few months here, if not for a few years here. And so we are going to into a 40-day fast. 40-day fasts are never easy. We always take them very seriously. We don't call them very often. And although this might sound more simple than some of our fasts in the past, I guarantee you this is not a simple fast that God has called us to, because he has called us to a 40-day fast of joy. In a 40-day fast of joy, you can have nothing but joy. Which means you have to have joy when you get up in the morning. You have to have joy when you go home, when you go to bed at night. Throughout the night, you sleep in joy and you spend the day in joy. That is not as easy as it seems. It is not as easy as it seems. But that kind of a fast will empower us as a congregation it will catapult us forward, which is why God offered it to us now at this season, because we are in the midst of the festival of Sukkot, hence the Arba Minim, the four species. Take the four species and celebrate them, right? Celebrate with them before the Lord 7 days. At this festival, you are to have nothing but joy. So it's a perfect opportunity for us to lay hold of what God has given us. And if you're a covenant member of this congregation, as I have told you time and time again, I give you a serious as I can. If you lay hold of this and really focus into this for 40 days, it will radically change who you are and who we are. And if you do not, you will be left behind in the dust of where this congregation is going. You will be left behind. And you end up not being a citron, which has both taste and smell, and you become a date palm, which has neither taste nor smell. Is that close? Atmavina? Can. Hallelujah. Still in chapter 61, go down to verse 10. I am so joyful in Adonai. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me in salvation, dressed me in a robe of triumph, like a bridegroom wearing a festive turban, like a bride adorned with her jewels. Take that into your new covenant understanding, particularly those of you from the church, and plug that into your life. The concept of salvation is completely tied to joy. Because salvation is about redeeming you into the kingdom. The kingdom, remember, the heavenly culture is a culture of celebration. What happens around the throne is celebration. I know people like to say it is actually worship. You know what? It is celebration. It is celebration because the purest form of worship tends to be celebration. Because God is happy. And the people of God are supposed to be happy. Supposed to be. So I'm so joyful now. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with salvation. That's the reason we can rejoice. We are clothed with salvation. Dressed me in a robe of triumph, like a bridegroom wearing a festive turban, like a bride adorned with her jewels. And it's all about the bride and the bridegroom once again. Staying with the prophet, let's go back to chapter 12. Page 455 in the Stern Translation, chapter 12, verse 1. A lot of the body of Messiah is teaching judgment. A lot of the body of Messiah focuses on judgment. A lot of the body of Messiah focuses on sin. Things are coming down. I mean, we finally got some good news out of the Mideast. Yes. For the Shalit family, anyway. But most of the news that will be coming down here is not going to be that good. And men and women of God who are certainly well-intentioned, and I'm not speaking against anybody, who talk about God is angry with us, God is judging us, and it's like, well, I struggle with the concept of the God of Israel, who is a happy God, who being angry with us when Messiah took care of sin. And if Messiah took care of sin, I don't know what God would be angry with us anymore. But on that day, you'll say, I thank you tonight, because although you were angry with me, your anger is now turned away and you are comforting me. Because during that time, it was a time of visitation. We had to wait for the Spirit of God to show up on somebody to even hear from him. And there were times when God got angry, because this is before the Messiah's sacrifice. And he was angry because of sin. There was a lot of judgment that fell during that time. Which is why a lot of the body of Messiah thinks there's two gods. There's a God of the Old Testament that was angry, and a God of the New Testament that is not angry. It's like, no, it's the same God, but before there was something to take care of the sin problem, God was angry. with the sin. And now that sin problem is taken care of, though, God is no longer angry. He's happy. And it's all about Messiah. And because of Messiah. Okay? It's because of Messiah. He's not angry anymore. So you say, I thank you. Because although you're angry with me, your anger is now turned away. You are comforting me. Because God is in the business of comforting us. Verse 2. See, God is my salvation. There's the key. When God becomes your salvation, you can now become thankful. You can now become happy. I am confident and unafraid, for Yah Adonai is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. When God becomes your salvation, you can now rejoice and be glad. Verse 3. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. And the promise of God that on the seventh day of this festival, the great day of the feast in the Christian Bible, Hoshana Rabbah in the Stern translation, the Messiah talked about the whole concept of the water drawing because it's a water libation ceremony. We'll get into that next Wednesday a little bit probably. But where you have salvation, you draw from that well and spring of salvation joy. Joy. Here's the problem with the body of Messiah at large. We're not happy. Therefore, we're not a testimony that God is happy. Hence, a 40-day fast of joy. Nothing but joy. Which is much more difficult than it sounds. That sounds like there's a great idea. We'll just do that. Yeah. I've known about this for a while. So I don't have to wait till I give a message to understand where we're going as a congregation. So I need to know for a couple of weeks now, frankly, I will have nothing but joy. It's just the world doesn't always get in line with my plans. Life doesn't get in line with my plans. And it's not always as simple as it seems just to be joyous. If it was, the people of the kingdom would all be joyous. This has to be a sacrifice that you're willing to give for 40 days where you're going to have joy. And you have joy because you have salvation. If you have salvation, you can rejoice. You can rejoice. You can be thankful. It's all about God. It's all about the Messiah. And you rejoice because you have salvation. You rejoice solely from the standpoint of salvation. Everything else is everything else. There's God, and then there's everything else. There's your salvation with God, and there's everything else. In order to fast for 40 days, nothing but joy, you're going to have to focus into that reality. You stand in salvation. The world, I'm looking to see who's still in the room. I watch for kids. The world is going to hell. The world is in bad shape. The world is spinning out of control. And there is chaos out there. There's chaos out there. And I don't think it's going to calm down anytime in the near future. But that's the world. I'm talking about the kingdom. Tehillim, Psalm 16, page 822, verse 11 of Psalm 16. You make me know the path of life, and your presence is unbounded joy, and your right hand eternal delight. At the beginning of the service, Scott talked about the realities we get to choose from, the worldly reality, or the spiritual reality, is his terminology, and I call it kingdom reality. And here's the reality that we are in the presence of God because we are seated with Messiah in the holy place, in the most holy place. So we are seated in the presence of God in the Messiah, right? Because you're in the Messiah is in you. You make me know the path of life. In your presence, God, is unbounded joy, your right hand, eternal delight. Who's at the right hand of God? The Messiah. So God is unbounded joy. The Messiah is there, eternal delight. Where you are in the reality of the spirit realm, of the kingdom reality, your kingdom reality, is you're in the presence of God where there is unbounded joy, eternal delight. And that can be your reality as much as anything else we've been talking about can be your reality. If you choose that reality, but in order to grab a hold of that reality, you have to fight to get it, and you have to fight to stay there. It is a gift. It is a gift. But you have to grab a hold of it and not let go. Because I'm telling you, the world will try to take it away from you. The flesh, your flesh will try to take it away from you, and the adversary certainly does not want us to go down this path. Because you want to increase your faith? Do you want to empower your prayer? Do you want to draw closer and closer to God? If you're willing to go a 40-day fast of joy, I guarantee it will anoint everything of the kingdom to you, because you are now tapping into God's reality and His personality, and you are becoming more like Him, which is what the Messiah brought you in the kingdom to become, more like Him. And this is critical for us. This is critical for us. If we can get this right as a congregation, we will be catapulted forward. If we do not handle it like right, back to boot camp. I already know. And I know the two directions we can be on in teachings. I'm excited about this. Because I want us to be catapulted forward. I want to go into a preseason. Preseason. Because the season's up to Him. When He blows the whistle, it will start. Sounds of the shofar is much more joyous than blowing the whistle. Get away from the sports. Let's go to the birth announcement. What happened when the Messiah was born into this world? I forget who I used. I think I used Luke. Luke 2, page 1290, beginning in verse 8. In the countryside nearby, this is Beit Lechem, the house of bread. You go down through the valley, up the Mount of Olives, hang a right. Spending the night in the fields, guarding their flocks, verse 9. When an angel of Adonai appeared to them, and the Shekinah, the manifest presence of God, is the Shekinah. The Shekinah of Adonai shone around them. They were terrified, which is what happens when God really shows up. Verse 10, the angel said, "Don't be afraid," which is the first message you will always get when God shows up, or an angel shows up. The first thing they will say to you is, "Don't be afraid," because your first reaction is going to be fear. And it's an awesome thing to appear before God and been there, done that. Why? Because I am announcing to you good news that will bring great joy to all people. That's not a good translation. He had to change that. That doesn't exist. What it says in the original language, I bring you good news of great joy to all people. I give you good news of great joy. So the Messiah came, the first heavenly message announcing His coming into the world was, I got good news. Great joy is now here because the Messiah is here. Because what was missing from the world was joy. And the Messiah came to bring joy. The Messiah came to bring joy. That's right, joy to the world. Think what translation you're in. It is joy to all the people. To all the people. This is joy. The Messiah came to restore joy back into the world. And what is sorely lacking in the body of Messiah is joy. What is sorely lacking in the kingdom of God's people here on this earth is joy. Everyone's walking around like everybody else is walking around. But just like you used to pray like everybody else, and you no longer do that, so now you're not going to walk around like everybody else. You're going to walk in joy. And you're not going to walk in joy because of your circumstances. You're going to walk in joy because of your salvation. And you, above all the other people in the world, have more to be joyful about than anybody else because you walk in salvation as the habitation of God. And you've got to grasp that reality. When we are talking about prayer, back when I talked more about how not to pray than to pray, but I talked about those transition points, right? The transition points where something works until something changes. One of those that I used was Yochanan, John 16:24, page 1352 in the Stern Translation. Till now you haven't asked anything in my name. Keep asking and you will receive so that your joy may be complete. So prior to the point when he was going to be crucified, suffer a sacrificial death, be resurrected and ascended, you never prayed in his name. But he said, now though, when all this comes to pass, you have not asked anything in my name because it was inappropriate to ask in his name before he paid the price. But now that he has paid the price, you can just keep on asking, which means you can ask, but you want to ask more than once. Just keep on asking. Doesn't mean be repetitive about one need. It says just pray about everything. And you will see why. So your joy may be complete. So your prayer makes it possible for your joy to be full. Your prayer should lead to joy. And it does that when you start praying like the Bible tells you to pray and not praying like everybody else prays. That way you don't get frustrated and the Holy Spirit actually backs you up. And you're praying with God and not to God, right? Right? I'm just filling in because we have a lot of visitors. Don't pray to God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to pray to God. It says to pray with God. And so now we're asking through the Messiah. We're going through him. He's the key to everything. But he wants our joy to be complete. He wants our joy to be complete. And as you sit here tonight, I know you think it's not easy to have joy because if you really want to have joy, doesn't he understand the week I just been through? And here's the reality that there's very little guarantee the next week's going to be a whole lot better, is there? You get to choose which reality you're going to walk in here, kids. And it is going to be a challenge for you to grab a hold of this reality. If you're a covenant member here, I'm challenging you right now. I'm telling you a 40-day fast of joy, or you will be left in the dust where this congregation is going. And after 40 days, you may just have to leave and go somewhere else where they're worshiping God, but they're just not moving where we're moving because we are going where God is taking us. Amen. And this is a critical time for us, kids. This is a critical time for us. Chapter 17, you're into the prayer. He's praying just before he's going to be arrested. Chapter 17 of Yochanan, still in John 17, verse 1. After Yeshua had said these things, he looked up towards heaven and said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so the Son may glorify you. And I just want you to see in this the context that I'm teaching in right now. He is now talking to the Father, the Creator God, okay? So he has made a transition. He's not talking to the Talmudim. He is talking to the Father in prayer. This is the Messiah's prayer. Verse 9. I am praying for them. Still in the same prayer. You see that? I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the whole world. I'm praying for those you gave me because they are yours. So he says, at this point, I'm not praying for everyone in the world. I'm praying for those that are a part of my kingdom. This is a specific prayer for Talmudim, for disciples. Verse 13. But now I am coming to you. Still praying, right? Talking to the Father, right? Now I am coming to you because he's about to be arrested and killed. I am coming to you, and I say these things while I am still in the world, so they may have my joy made complete in themselves. Because I came so they may have complete joy. Now I'm about to be arrested, and I'm about to be brutalized, I'm about to be killed, and I'm coming back to you. But I'm praying this because their joy needs to be full. Their joy needs to be complete. Because I'm paying the price of everything that the world has done to them that stole the joy that they had when they walked with us in the garden. Do you understand that? The kingdom of heaven is a celebration culture. Our kingdom reality is a celebration reality. It's a joy reality. It's a joy reality. And this is going to be a challenge for you. But I want you to grasp it. Philippians 3, page 1467, verse 1. In conclusion, this is the conclusion of Paul talking to the Philippians. This is not my conclusion. Sometimes I use his, sometimes I don't. He's winding up with the Philippians. I am not winding up. In conclusion, my brothers, rejoice in union with the Lord. It is no trouble for me to repeat what I have written to you before, and for you it will be a safeguard. He said, you need a safeguard. I want you to be kept safe. And I've said this time and time again. I want you to be kept safe, so you just need to rejoice in union with the Lord, because that will keep you safe. There is what will keep you safe. You're in union with Messiah. You want to be kept safe, therefore you will rejoice. Because if you're not busy rejoicing because you have salvation, you might get frustrated because you are suffering so much in this lousy world. You might get distracted because the enemy just might start beating the war drums around your head and dropping buses out of the sky to land on you. And, you know, if you're not rejoicing in union with the Lord, you might find out that things aren't as smooth on the job as they could be, smooth in the home as they could be, smooth on the road as it could be, smooth here, smooth there as it could be, because things often don't work the way that we wish. Things would work much better in our lives than they tend to work, because we don't always understand why things happen the way things happen, but things happen all the time in our lives. And I say, yes, that's one of the realities, but the greater reality is rejoice in union with the Lord, because that's your safeguard, and it will keep you safe, because see, the enemy can't win if he attacks you and you start rejoicing in the Lord. Do you understand that? He has limited resources. He may come after you. We do have an adversary. If you're visiting here, my goal in this congregation is to stay on that front edge, the clash between two kingdoms, because I want to push in. I want to push in. And you know what? He's going to push back. But every time he pushes back, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And sooner or later, you know, let him get some therapy. He messes with me, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And as I rejoice in the Lord, I become more and more powerful, because I become more like God. And the Messiah brought me into the kingdom, become more like Him. Just like He brought you into the kingdom. If the enemy is messing with you, and every time he messes with you, you rejoice in the Lord, trust me, he'll quit messing with you and you'll become a super conqueror, right? A couple messages ago. More than a conqueror. It means the enemy doesn't show up anymore. How do you do that? Here's one of the keys. One of the keys. Just rejoice. In union with the Lord, rejoice. No trouble me keep repeating to you, because this will keep you safe. This will keep you safe. Because if you're always going to be rejoicing, the world won't wear you down. Your flesh won't even wear you down. The enemy will have to leave you alone, because everything pushes you into joy. And if you will take this challenge, which is an invitation from God, a 40-day fast of joy, if you will take this seriously, and I want to encourage you, we've done this before, and a lot of people think, well, we'll ease into this. Starting now, starting at this service, I proclaim we are in a 40-day fast. This is day one. This is day one. And you're not going to rejoice because of your circumstances. You're going to rejoice because of your salvation. Because of your salvation. Because you'd be a lunatic to rejoice in your circumstances. And I'm not saying your circumstances aren't difficult. I'm saying God is bigger than your circumstances. Prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, page 1477. This is the Spirit of God. He keeps working in these little things. This is the key, one of the keys to prayer, because now you're learning to pray correctly, right? It's one of the keys to praying correctly. Always be joyful. Always be joyful. Point one, always be joyful. Verse 17, pray regularly. Pray without ceasing and other things. You pray. You don't pray. You start with joy. Always be joyful. Then you pray. Because if you're not joyful, your prayers will be wrong. Because you'll end up praying to God. And you won't pray with God. If you pray to God, it doesn't move very far. And if it moves far, now he's gracious. He's good to us, right? Sometimes you can just pray to him and he throws us a bone. And it's like, okay, I'll give you a break here and I'll do this for you. You really want your prayer answered, right? You're going to pray with God, not to God. So you're going to start, before you start praying without ceasing or praying regularly, the way you empower your prayers is always be joyful. Because if you're joyful, you can really tie into God quickly. You can really tap in because you are now basking in His reality, in His personality, in His attributes. Pray regularly, and verse 18, to complete the sandwich and everything, give thanks. For this is what God wants from you who are united with Messiah Yeshua. Because you're in the Messiah Yeshua, you're going to always be joyful. And if you're always joyful, you will not believe where your prayers will go. If you are able to really grab a hold of this fast, and choose to be rejoicing in that joy throughout every day, regardless of what's going on around you. You're rejoicing because you have salvation. You're rejoicing because you are the habitation of God. You have God. God is one of the realities of your life. He could be an awful big reality if you let Him be. If you let Him be your greatest reality, you can do this. And this will empower your prayer beyond your imagination. This will increase your faith to believe God when He wants you to pray for the miraculous and the supernatural. Because the supernatural are actually the natural. We live in the subpar realm of truth. Because it's natural to have the supernatural flowing throughout God's kingdom. And it doesn't because we settle for the subpar reality. But you have to just always be joyful. Then your prayer will be empowered because your faith will be empowered because all of the gifts, all of the fruits of the Spirit, of which joy is one of them, will really flourish and unlock in your life. And you will have as much opposition as you could have in any fast to this. I'm telling you right now, you have absolute opposition from this. Your flesh doesn't want it. The world doesn't want it. There are people in your family that don't want it. The enemy doesn't want it. But if you will really go for this, the Spirit will help you because the Spirit is the one who's making the invitation. It's His invitation. This is the invitation to move out of boot camp into a preseason here. Into a preseason. I'm telling you, we can do it as a congregation. And here's the challenge. You do it or we go back to boot camp. And you know, if we have to go back to boot camp, I will be here. And I will take you by the hand and we will go through this again. And we'll see what the next path God offers to us. But this is, he offered this. He said, we don't want to take the time to keep building all these premises up. Let's just catapult into the future. Let's go this path. And it's like, I'm ready to. It's not up to me. It's up to us as a congregation, kids. It's up to us. We have to do this together. First Kepha, 1 Peter 1, page 1515, verse 3. Praise be God, Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who in keeping with his great mercy has caused us through the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah from the dead to be born again to a living hope. Praise be to God. We can praise God not because of our circumstances, because our circumstances are in the world and the world is a messy place. We are praising God because in keeping with his great mercy, he has caused us. He has allowed us, caused us, brought us through the resurrection of Yeshua, the Messiah from the dead, to be born again to a living hope. We walk in a living hope, a living hope. We don't serve a dead Messiah. We serve a resurrected Messiah who is the Son of God. Verse 4. To an inheritance that cannot decay, spoil, or fade, kept safe for you in heaven. We have an inheritance that's kept safe for us in heaven. Here's the good news. You don't have to wait till you die to get there because you are seated with him in heaven right now, and your inheritance is available to you right now. Do you understand that? Because to get inheritance, there has to be a death. Think of all the scriptures. There's been a death. The inheritance is yours. It's safe. It's in heaven. I said, what good is that for you? Easy. He put you in heaven. You're seated with the Messiah in heaven. Far above everything. Far above everything. And we're down here muddling in the everything. Well, that's everything else. There's the joy of salvation that I have, regardless of what's going on in my life. You know, God keeps these, say, if you're here tonight, I don't know if everybody's here tonight, and certainly this goes out on the computer and through CDs. If you haven't accepted the Messiah, if you don't have a relationship with God, all you have to do is go to God and say, I want to have a relationship with you. I can't do it on my own. I'll never be good enough. And he'll say, no problem. You accept the gift of Messiah. You come into the kingdom. It's a free gift. We'll start working on it. We'll start working on this. Is a tremendous time to come into it because where we are going is just absolutely excited. Right, it's exciting right now. It's easy to get. All you do is ask. Verse 5. Meanwhile, through trusting, which is the stern translation of faith, which means you're trusting God, you are being protected by God's power for deliverance ready to be revealed at the last time. What does that mean? That means you're not completely walking in total deliverance right now, because you know what? Your circumstances are very real. Your circumstances are very real. Doesn't negate the truth of what the world has done to you and what you've done to yourself and what others have done to you. That's just part of your reality. Eventually, you will be able to shed that. Right now, you can't shed it. All you can do is choose a greater reality in spite of that. And you're not rejoicing because of your circumstances. You're taking your circumstances and say, I'm going to sacrifice this up to you. I don't understand this. I don't know why I go through this. I don't know why this is on me. I don't know why I don't understand. I don't know why life can be so difficult sometimes, but I just sacrifice that to you, and I'm going to rejoice in you because I walk in your salvation. And I choose your reality above my reality, and I don't even understand this, but I sacrifice this to you. And if I'm going to hurt, if I'm going to suffer, if I'm going to be rejected, if I'm going to feel unloved, if I'm going to feel this and that and the other thing, and I just can't get over my own self, then I'll just sacrifice that to you, and I will choose to rejoice in you nonetheless. Though he slays me, yet I will praise him. Amen. We don't always know what's going on. We don't always understand what's going on. But you know what? God is our reality, and we could choose it if we want. So we have a deliverance ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, rejoice in this. Rejoice in this. Even though for a little while you may experience grief and various trials. You know, rejoice when you went through various trials, right? It's good for you. Oy. You know? It's good for you. We're serving. God is so good to us. Count it all joy if you're going through trials. Why? Well, because the trials are just the trials. You're walking in salvation. You're walking as the habitation of God. Don't you know you're the temple and this Holy Spirit is inside of you? You're the habitation of God. So you're not going through this alone, no matter how alone you feel. If you accepted God, the Messiah is in you. The Spirit is in you. God is in you. You are in His presence. You're never alone. He said, behold, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I won't leave you as orphans. So rejoice. Verse 7. Even gold is tested by the genuine sapphire. I've had the blessed experience of smelting and separating and liquid metal and things like that. I know how this works. Everyone should do that. Just understand what the Scripture is talking about. But gold is tested by a genuine sapphire. The purpose of these trials is that your trust genuine, which is far more valuable than perishable gold, will be judged worthy of praise, glory, and honor at the revealing of Yeshua the Messiah. It's good for you to shed some of the dross, shed some of the impurities. The reason you melt metal is the impurities all come to the top. It separates out the impurities. And to separate out the impurities, you got to be hot enough that it changes your very substance. And what it does is purify you, and it's good for you to be purified, and it's often not comfortable. Do you know, as excited as I am to learn the things of God, it tends to be miserable for my flesh to learn it. Do you understand that? It tends to be miserable to learn these great messages, these great things that God shows me. For my flesh, my spirit is willing, my flesh is weak. But it's a process that God wants to take us through, and it's good for us. Verse 8, here's our reality without having seen Him. We love Him, right? Most of you who aren't Jewish have never seen Him. Without seeing Him now, but trusting in Him, because that's the reality we walk in. We don't always see Him, even for those of us who have seen Him, don't always see Him. Nonetheless, we trust in Him. And with that reality, you continue to be full of joy that is glorious beyond words. We're just full of joy. Why? Because it's all about God. It's all about the Messiah. So we're full of joy. We're full of joy. But when you see us out there walking where everybody else is out there walking, do we really look different from all of them? Or do we look as beat down and as weary as everybody else in the world? Do you understand that part of your testimony means that when you go to the store at night after you've done your job and after you find out that you needed something you didn't know and you have to run out and you have to run in and it's raining and the air conditioning breaks down and you get there and you forgot your purse or whatever. All these things happen to us all the time. And you walk in, and here's the challenge. Can you still be joyous because you walk in salvation? Can you still be joyous? This is not an easy fast. This fast sounds like an easy fast. This is not easy fast. But you see, you need to be so full of joy that it's just glorious beyond words. And you have complete joy. Not because of your circumstances. Your circumstances, I just sacrifice this to you because I got to go through what I got to go through. Whatever I'm going through, I don't always understand it any more than you understand it. And yes, God could change it. And I could pray to Him about it. He knows about it. Why should I pray to God about my circumstances? I'd rather pray with God about where He's taking me because I'm absolutely excited about where He's taking me. It's just glorious beyond words. Here's the reality. A lot of people think that you need miracles and wonders as a sign of the kingdom. In a few weeks, I'm flying out to Phoenix. There's a group of us gathering to deal with some issues in Messianic Judaism. We're going to talk about how we do things and how we could do things better. I have an idea what I'm going to be talking about. And what people are drawn to are the miracles and the wonders. Because there is a sign of the kingdom. When you start seeing miracles and wonders happening, right? People flying from all over the world to go to these places. And I've gone to these places. I'm not saying, whoa, that doesn't work. I did Toronto Airport, Vineyard, Brownsville, AG. There's the new thing up at the Mobile. What's it called? Bay of something. Legitimate. I'm not speaking against anybody. I don't speak to Todd Bentley. I won't speak against anybody. God does special things at special times. But this season's going to be bigger than all that stuff, though, in my opinion. Signs and wonders, yes, they are a sign of the kingdom. Romans 14:17, is that where I'm going? Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, shalom, and joy in Ruach HaKodesh, in the Holy Spirit. Your righteousness comes from God. Your peace comes from God. But your joy, you've got to grab a hold of. That's the kingdom of God, is joy. The kingdom of God is joy. This congregation is founded on Beth Simcha. We were Beth Simcha for, I don't know, 17 years before God changed our name to Beth Messiah, the House of Joy. And that was used against us quite a bit in the community. They had some pet names for us, tied to the interpretation of Beit Simcha. Yeah. Those have been a long time. We've heard it all. Yeah. Yeah, really. But you know, the foundation of this congregation is joy. That's the House of Joy. This is now the House of Messiah. It was the House of Joy for many years. That's when we started. The corporate name is still the House of Joy. We're DBA is Beth Messiah. We're founded on joy. This season that God is bringing is predicated on us grasping a hold of this reality one of the foundational concepts. If you really want to see us move as a congregation, if you're a covenant member here, I'm challenging you. If we want to really move as a congregation, 40 days fast of joy. Because joy is a tremendous sign of the kingdom, because it reveals God's nature and it welcomes his reality. It welcomes his reality. Here's the reality. The praise and worship team is up here, and they're trying to draw you in. Draw you in. And that is a crime. Because they are serving as Levites. And if we will get into this, we will come in then and we will push them to go higher and higher and higher. And that's the way it should be. We should be pushing the Levites to go higher and higher and higher instead of waiting for them to drag us along. Okay? Oh, indecision is a terrible thing. This is a season of the prophetic being fulfilled. For those of you who have received prophetic words, this is the season. I'm telling you, this is a great time. I'm going to read a prophecy spoken over this congregation by our good friend, Messianic Rabbi Kokeb Gedamu, in September of 09. September of 09, okay? English is not his first, second, or third language. For those of you that don't know Rabbi Kokeb. But this was spoken into this congregation. The Spirit of God told me, read this to you, give this to you now. A goal for this fast. The Lord said, listen, my people, prepare to meet me, says the Lord. I'm coming with mighty power and mighty hand to give you strength and power. To give you favor on the city. My servant, be ready. Be ready. They are coming here. You'll see abundant multitude of people in this congregation. I will call them from the east, west, north, and south, because I want to honor this place into my glory. Prepare a large place for me, says the Lord. I'll raise up mighty people from this congregation to go forth to stand in front of leaders to speak about me. My servant, says the Lord, because you humble yourselves. This is to the congregation, by the way. My servant, the congregation. My servant, says the Lord, because you humble yourself, because you seek me more and more, I'll honor you. I'll honor you. You will see breakthrough in your life. I'll answer your prayer, and your hand will be full of miracles. Miracles starting to flow up from this place. Enlarge your territory, says the Lord. Enlarge your territory. This is a place of healing. That you will be the place of healing, the place of redemption, the place of rest. So be ready to meet me, says the Lord. My people, listen to me. Dedicate yourself fully. Don't look right and left. Stand firm with me, says the Lord. I come to bless your house. I will come to bless your journey. Wherever you go, I will be with you. I'll fight for you. Don't be afraid of the enemy, says the Lord. Fight a good fight of faith. Be the army of God. Prepare to be a soldier of me, says the Lord. Dedicate yourself fully. Be holy, says the Lord. Be holy. Consecrate yourself, your house, to me, says the Lord. I will be your Lord. I will be your master. If you allow me, I will work on behalf of you. I'll fight for you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to close with another word that God gave to you. If you're part of this congregation, tied directly to this fast, this is for you as individuals. I cannot teach it. It will mean something different to each one of you, depending on where you are. I mentioned it at the first day of Sukkot, Yeshua, Isaiah chapter 55, page 524 in the Stern Translation. And Michaeline, we're just going to read straight through it. This is something during these 40 days, you need to read this. You need to read this chapter. If you're part of this congregation taking part in this 40-day fast, read this and let the Spirit of God teach you what it means to you. All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. You without money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money, it's free. Why spend money for what isn't food, your wages for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and you will eat well. You will enjoy the fat of the land. Open your ears and come to me. Listen well, and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the grace I assured David. I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and lawgiver for the peoples. You will summon a nation you do not know, and a nation that doesn't know you will run to you for the sake of Adonai your God, the Holy One of Israel, who will glorify you. Seek Adonai while he is available. Call upon him while he is still nearby. Let the wicked person abandon his way and the evil person his thoughts. Let him return to Adonai and he will have mercy on him. Let him return to our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says Adonai. Verse 9. As high as the sky is above the earth, are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as the rain and snow fall from the sky, fall from the sky and do not return there, but water the earth in causing it to bud and produce, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return unfulfilled. It will accomplish what I intend and cause to succeed what I sent it to do. Yes, you will go out with joy. You will be led forth in peace. As you come, the mountains and hills will burst out into song, and all the trees of the countryside will clap their hands. Cypresses will grow in the place of thorns. Myrtles will grow instead of briars. This will bring fame to Adonai as an eternal, imperishable sign. That is a prophetic word for the covenant members of this congregation tied directly to this 40-day fast of joy. I challenge you. I encourage you. If you're visiting with us here, it's your first time and last time here, it doesn't matter. You've come under the favor of God or a part of our family when you are here. You can take this. It will work for you as much as it will work for everybody else, because this season is not just for this congregation. It's for everybody in the world that's paying attention to what God is doing right now. We serve a happy God. Let's give a testimony to his reality. We won't cleanly end this service. We never do. This is up to the Spirit of God to end our services. So if you get to the point where you need to move, you need to break down, you need to go. If you want to go to Oneg, it is Sukkot. The sukkah is outside. Take your snacks out to the sukkah. Spend some time in the sukkah and celebrate. Be blessed, everybody. Shabbat shalom.